I'm going to get a stand. I'm going to get a stand.
7 o'clock. We'll call this meeting to order. Will everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance? Our most precious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please be with everyone in our audience. Please be with our residents. Please be with our emergency personnel. Please be with our military. Please guide this meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The City of Irving is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember
Layman? Here. Councilmember Abadaka? Here.
Mayor
Wilson did indicate at the last meeting that she would not be here at this one. Item 5, citizens' participation. We have Sylvia Volkman. Would you like to talk now, or do you want to? Okay. Regarding the Ben Singelman project.
Yes. I live on Ben Singelman. I've been in Kirby for over 40 years. So those of y'all that don't know me, I live in the corner house. I used to drive the ice cream truck here in Kirby 100 years ago. I just want to briefly make some complaints again about the project that's going on. We have the signs that are not up, they're laying in the yard, no through traffic, and we were told, I went out and I asked the workers, and they pretty much said the signs don't need to be up. The City of Kirby said one sign at the other end on Charles Conrad was sufficient, that they didn't need to put the one up over by us. We're right there at the four-way stop sign, and traffic is horrible. The cars, they go by. If the Kirby police park right there next to Patricia's house, everyone sees them there, so yeah, they're going to slow down. Maybe have an unmarked car parked there or something else, because the black and whites, everybody knows those. But if we could get a sign up that says road closed, because everyone driving through on the no through traffic, the workers have to stop to help them get through. So they're out there with those big old bulldozers and stuff and have to stop what they're doing. Nobody heeds the sign. When you go on Facebook and post something under the Kirby community, you get nothing but negativity from the people that don't live on our end saying it's an open street, we can go wherever we want to go. So maybe if they could put different signs up and literally close the road just for those that live there. Another thing is the workers. They sit down in our yards and have lunch and leave their garbage. I provided pictures to Lisa. So that's fine. I mean, everyone should be able to sit in the shade and eat, but take your garbage with you. And don't come into my yard and take my water hose and use my water to take care of the street. Now, if you're going to drink it, that's fine. I don't want you to die of thirst out there. But don't use my water to take care of the city streets that you're working on. Bring in your water container and do that. Another thing, they were cutting the driveways. And I thought, oh, this is good. They're on a roll here. They cut the driveways. Well, then they realized they didn't cut the driveways far enough. I have pictures of this. They came back a week later and recut the driveways. So now when you drive out of your driveway, you're sinking into the dirt. Okay? There's barrels right there, so you have to make sure you don't hit barrels and things. The last time we got a notice, I believe, was like for the 22nd of June or whatever. You need to park on the side of your house because we're working on the street. Well, where did they want us to park? The workers are all parked there. I have a son with a disability. Do I have to have my son get out and go walk a mile to get to my car? So my car stays in the driveway. If I have to have them move a truck or something, I'm going to ask them to move a truck. So it's just a little bit courteous. I mean, we're doing what they're asking, so just please be courteous. And I think that's all I had.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Rocky Hagstad, would you like to speak now or wait? His agenda item will be the Ben Singelman traffic agenda item F. And Patricia Chastain, would you like to speak now or would you? Okay. Hers is also the Benzingelman traffic, this specifically about the Benzingelman intersection.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Mayor, council, and citizens, I come before you today out of concern for pedestrian safety at the intersection of Benzingelman and Allen Shepherd. This is due to vehicles running the stop sign. Because of this, I'm asking for two solar-powered flashing stop signs in place of the ones already there. The stop signs, depending on the size, can start about $1,500, and that's just from a quick Google search. I'm sure we can find something cheaper or different. So we're looking at about $3,000 roughly for two signs, but to me that is better than the cost of a funeral or a memorial. You're probably asking about now why my corner, especially if there are signs there already. Why do I feel so special out of all of Kirby? Well, the reason is Kirby Senior Center, the pool, the park, and it is a very well-traveled road that everybody knows to get through Kirby. Because of the mention above, every day there are people walking their pets, people walking for exercise, families walking to the park, kids walking to the pool to play basketball. The Senior Center is also holding more events. Now we are redoing the sidewalks to accommodate handicapped people, which will also increase pedestrian traffic. The safety of these people and more as we try and bring Kirby together at these places is in your hands. Another question on your minds may also be, why now? Nothing has happened in all the years before. I answer you with one word, distractions. There are more distractions for drivers and pedestrians now than there were before. And they will only get worse, from loud radios to cell phones to friends to kids with their earpieces on trying to cross the road to get to the park or the pool, and just easy, normal complacency. And with the roads being redone and being smoother, I can guarantee traffic will pick up and something will happen. It's as we're going to talk about later, other residents I know y'all have heard, the speed is crazy, but the stop signs is just really scary. I have kids walking past my house at all times and families, and I really worry about them. And of course, I've only lived here for 3 months and I've noticed it, so I just feel it needs to be brought up. One example is just yesterday I was in my yard for 30 minutes tops, if that. At that time, two commercial vehicles, not a small car, not a truck, but a FedEx truck and a plumbing van ran the stop sign. I yelled at the stop sign and put my arms up, and the FedEx driver just looked at me and said, "Oops, I'm sorry," and just kept driving. Like he didn't even care. The plumbing van didn't even see me. He didn't even turn his head and look. So imagine the damage those vehicles could do to a person. My main concern is just trying to highlight this area. I mean, if anybody has any other suggestions, especially Chief, I know you've been there, I've talked to the corporal. She said a lot of it is the people driving through, missing the stop signs. Just something to where I don't know if they're not seeing it, complacency. So anything we could do could be great. So in closing, for the reasons I have stated above, I'm asking to the council to be proactive and not reactive and purchase two solar-powered flashing stop signs for the Benzingelman Allen Shepherd intersection. I would like to highlight these stop signs to, again, be proactive and highlight them before we have to highlight a memorial, because I don't want to wake up looking at crosses on my corners, and I know you guys wouldn't either. So thank you very much, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Deborah McMillan. The subject is elections.
Good evening. I would like to thank Council for having provided the residents with Fair County Elections Department May 5th total elections report of 234 votes being cast. However, this does not explain how or why the election judge provided 194 as the total number of voters to this council. 194 is the total number of voters accepted upon vote by this council. Information was provided about a discrepancy in the total number of voters versus the votes cast for the bond. Still, council approved the minutes without question. The results of this action are that 194 total number of voters is the city's official record, in conflict with Bexar County's Elections Department totals for the 5 May election, 234. I ask council to research and explain how and why these discrepancies occurred and what corrective measures will be implemented to prevent this from happening again. I ask this with the hope that the integrity and trust in the election process will be maintained in this community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to butcher this name. Is it Aisha?
Aisha.
Okay. Yes. Please come forward.
Thank you.
This is regarding, the subject is the shopping complex at Old Seguin Road.
That is correct. Good afternoon, Councilman and everyone. My name is Aisha Woods, Zara Cuisine, and I am the First Lady of Greater Joy Church, which is located at 5020 Old Seguin Road, Suite 1A and 1B. We moved to the Kirby Shopping Center in November of 2017. On May 30th of 2018, the fire marshal and co-compliance officer of the City of Kirby came to our church and explained to us that our fire alarm system in our building was inoperable and we did not have a certificate of occupancy to occupy the building. We have been having weekly services in this Kirby location since November 2017 and have spent $47,310 in repairs and maintenance in this building. The fire marshal and code compliance officer shut down our church and we have not been allowed to have services in our building since. Our landlord, Main Street Properties, has refused to fix the alarm system as indicated in our lease. We were informed by the co-compliance officer and fire marshal that the other businesses in the shopping center have also been red tagged as their fire systems do not work. We were told that the owner was given 14 days to correct the issue or the entire complex would be shut down. Today is day 23 and all businesses in the complex are still operational with the exception of our church. The entire complex is at the same risk as our unit with the system being in disrepair. Our church would like to request a provisional certificate of occupancy while the fire marshal and co-compliance work with the landlord in getting this alarm system fixed. We have only been in the building for 7 months, and it has been brought to our attention that this fire system has been broken for close to 4 years. We've been out of our church now for a month, and as a result of that, we have not fed the community, which we do every Sunday and every Thursday free of charge. We had to pay to have services in various locations so that our church would not be disrupted. We've had to cancel a number of services as well because we have not been able to occupy our premises. We actually had to rent equipment because we were not allowed to access our building to take chairs that we needed to continue to have service. So it is our question that the council would look to see what is taking place and as to why the other businesses have been allowed to continue to operate when we have been displaced for now 27 days out of the shopping center. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Audrey Eklund, Kirby Senior Center.
I'm with the Kirby Senior Center. My name is Audrey Eklund. I wanted to thank the council for allowing us to have Sterling Park for our festival. The festival was all right. It wasn't as wonderful as we'd hoped. It wasn't as big as we'd hoped. But I would like to thank the fire department and the EMS for participating. I'd like to thank the mayor for coming by. And I hope that the next time we do something that the rest of the council will come to. I think it becomes a matter of supporting the city functions, as well as, you know, the senior center. But thank you very much for letting us. Thank you.
Item 6A, regular meeting minutes. Consideration of inaction on the regular meeting minutes of June 14th, 2018. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion we accept the meeting minutes June 14th, 2018.
We have a motion by Councilmember Lehman, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to accept the meeting minutes of June 14th, 2018. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand.
Abstain.
Abstain. That's three, right, Patty? So she abstained.
I wasn't here.
She wasn't here.
It was two abstains.
Will we bring that one back?
Me.
Jerry, you
said. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
One, two, three, four. We have, no.
Two.
Four. We got four. Never mind.
Got four.
I didn't see your hand. Just to make sure we had our number of votes. All right, item 7A, public hearing. At this time, at 7:16, I will close the regular meeting and open the public hearing. The public hearing is on a request to have the property located on Seguin Road, lot 7 through 12, CB4018D, Kirby Manor Commercial Subdivision, Bexar County, Texas, to be rezoned from the current zoning of Commercial, Office, and Retail District C1 to Multiple Family Dwelling District R2. These properties are located across the street from Kirby Middle School at 5441 Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219, Bexar County, Texas. Is there anybody from the community that would wish to speak on this matter?
My name is Roger Romans, 4827 Neil Armstrong. I've been a resident for over 25 years. I'd like council to consider, instead of an either-or attitude of zoning this C1 or R2, to allow both of them. In 25 years, I've seen that property sit idle with nothing in it because there's multiple
else who wishes to speak on this matter? Okay, at this time I will close the public hearing at 7:19. Regular meeting at 7:19. Item 8A, discussion and possible action on a request to have the property located on Seguin Road, lot 7 through 12, CB4018D, Kirby Manor Commercial Subdivision, Bexar County, Texas, to be rezoned from the current zoning of Commercial Office and Retail District C1 to Multiple Family Dwelling District R2. These properties are located across the street from Kirby Middle School, 5441 Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219 Bexar County, Texas. We received the information. This information did go to Planning and Zoning on June 12th. There was one resident that spoke in opposition of this request. He said he would be in favor of single family homes, but not fourplex. The commission voted unanimously to deny the request for rezoning. Is there anybody here from Planning and Zoning?
No, me.
Yeah. Well, would you like to fill us in on this?
That's exactly what you had said. There are six properties that we all have purchased. Mr. New purchased six properties on Old Sabine Road, and their hope was to put a fourplex on each lot. We don't have
why?
Because they want commercial. They feel that the city is needs commercial area, and we zone that area commercial. And why would we zone it commercial if we're just going to keep changing our commercial to residential?
I've lived here 42 years. That lot, I've lived here 42 years. The only thing that's changed on that lot is the dirt when it blows back and forth. So I'd rather have something built there and something paying taxes as to go there and watch the dirt blow across it. And, I mean, I don't understand it. We've had this before. Yeah, I can understand over here not changing the zoning towards 78. This is in the middle of nowhere, literally. And I cannot, I don't see that. And I make a motion that we accept it.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant to accept the rezoning from commercial office and retail C1 to the multiple family dwelling R2.
Well, that went nowhere.
Do we have a second?
Okay. Guess we'll keep the dirt.
The motion will die for lack of a second. Is there any further discussion on this item?
Well, you know, I agree with Mike. Yeah, that property's been sitting there as long as I've been in Kirby, and that's 65. But why would we take commercial property away? Now, in a roundabout way, I agree with Mr. Roman that, you know, if we made it a C1, C2, R2, I think it was, you know, to give it a boundary of some kind so that people, if we find somebody commercial-wise, at least they would know what they could put in there. The way it sits right now, the commercial that could be put in there is limited to almost nothing. So, you know, if we sat back and discussed this a little bit again at one of our work session meetings to see what we could do for that property, you know, And if we can't get nothing done, yeah, the property's been sitting there all these years, and all we're getting is just the taxes for the land, where we could get something else. But the only thing that bothers me is putting up a fourplex on each one of them lots. Them fourplexes are going to be awful small, and you know, I just hate to see what it might bring to our community in a downward motion.
You mean kind of like the 975 square foot houses that people walked out of over there?
Patty, is there any, as far as having it dual districted or rezoned?
I've heard of that didn't have a dual. You got to have one or the other.
Mayor, it has to be one or the other. The solution to this problem would be for the council to consider something called a mixed-use zoning district. City of San Antonio has those.
Yes.
And in a mixed-use zoning district, the council can specify what uses would be permitted. It would accomplish what the gentleman who spoke during the public hearing said, to accommodate different uses. It would also address what Mayor Pro Tem Lehman said in terms of the property having multiple possibilities for use. But I've never heard of a piece of property being zoned A and B or R1 and C1. That's just, the zoning rules don't really allow that. No. So the way to allow more uses on this piece of property is to look into something like a mixed-use zone. And looking at the zoning map, it looks like virtually all of the property fronting on Old Seguin Road on that side of the street is zoned commercial.
Correct.
And so putting an R1 or R2 in the middle of that could be attacked as being spot zoning, which again creates a problem. A mixed-use zone that would allow either type of use probably could be defended against the spot use, the spot zoning claim.
Would you address that through the rules that we have now, or would it have to be a special?
The zoning ordinance would have to be amended.
That's what I thought.
To the Zoning Commission for a recommendation to create a new zoning district. And then at a separate meeting and separate set of hearings, the council could look into rezoning, whether it's just this property or this property and other property, to be in this new mixed-use zoning category.
That would be a good thing. Yeah. Could we have staff look into that?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Thank you.
Ms. Mayor, looking at the map that we've got in our packet, you've got a street that runs back here, and you got lots. Okay, yeah, I get it now. Yeah, these lots here back up to the ones that we're talking about.
Correct.
Okay, yeah.
And that's actually where the gentleman was that spoke at planning and zoning. He was actually from Peppermint, or lived on Peppermint.
Yeah. But you know what gets me too is here, this is kind of a major stepping stone for us, and there's nobody here from that group. I just think we ought to table it and go back and look at rezoning it a different way.
Making a motion, Jerry?
Huh?
Are you making a motion?
I make a motion that we way do I want to say this?
And we can kick it back to planning and zoning and have them.
Yeah, I'll make a motion. We send this back to planning and zoning and get back with them and tell them what maybe our ideas are with theirs and see if we can get it rezoned.
Well, if they're going to, if wouldn't you think that the first thing we might want to do is, as our attorney suggested, is to amend the ordinance for a multi-use. That's what Roger was trying to get to. And as far as the verbiage goes, multi or mixed, either one. But and then we bring that to the county, have go that process and amend the ordinance so that we can apply it to this. Otherwise, I mean, there's no other action to be taken since I didn't get a second, so that died. That's gone. So what we want to do now is make it a viable situation to where we can apply a multi or mixed use to this land and maybe other properties so that we can do get a better working situation for people that want to go in there.
But ultimately, planning and zoning will have to
I understand.
See it.
Well,
so that's why if we send it back to planning and zoning.
Wait a minute. What are we going to send back to them?
This incident for them to say that the council had discussion. And it was, you know, brought up to, we have multi or a mixed.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but this motion died, so what do you say? They should know that in proceedings, correct?
It seems that that although I think Mr. Lehman has a good idea of letting the Planning and Zoning Commission know what the council's feelings are, those feelings can be communicated simply by a review of the minutes of this meeting.
Correct.
And that sending it back doesn't really get the city moving in the direction. This agenda item only allows the council to do essentially one thing,
right,
which is to either say yes or no to rezoning this property from C1 to R2. So there was already a motion which failed for lack of a second to rezone it to R2. There doesn't seem to be any sentiment to do anything else.
Is there any other motion that wants to deny the request?
What are you asking? I don't understand what you're... It's already gone. It's zeroed out.
No, yours died. If somebody else wants to make a motion, they can.
Oh, the only other motion would be if they wanted to accept it.
Well, the motion that could be made is to accept the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission to deny the rezoning request.
Right.
And staff has already been directed to look into the possibility of amending the zoning ordinance to create a mixed-use district that might include, ultimately, this property that this application is all about.
Yeah, because right now, the way it stands, we don't have the tools to do anything else.
Right, but if somebody up here wanted to make a motion to deny it completely and it passed, then there would be all the other stuff we talked about wouldn't be there, would be irrelevant.
Well, the direction to staff would stand to look into the mixed-use zoning.
That stays.
The possibility of the city initiating, through the zoning commission, a creation of a new zoning district. You know, you have R1, you have R2, you have R3, you have C1 and C2.
Okay, so anybody can say that. We didn't have to vote on the city looking at zoning.
It wouldn't be proper to vote on it because it's not agendized, but it's fine to ask staff to look into it. That's not taking action. So the action item here is action on the request to have this piece of property on Old Seguin Road rezoned from C1 to R2. That's the potential action item
right.
permitted
That's
under 8A.
Right, that's what I was asking if anybody wanted to make a motion to that.
Right, and if no one makes a motion, then the item dies for lack of a motion and you move on to item 8B.
Correct, that's why I was asking if there was any other motion on this. Item 8B, discussion and possible action on a request from the police chief to spend asset forfeiture money on the purchase of body cameras for the police department. Chief Boyce, I will turn this over to you.
Yes, Madam Council. Question is that we have a certain amount of money left over in a case where we did have an asset forfeiture on a couple of vehicles from about 2012. The remaining balance that is available is $1,380.66. What we would like to do is use that money to augment the purchase of replacement body cameras for the police department and animal control. And these are body cameras that we already have, but have worn out through usage. And we have actually had body cameras deployed on officers since about 2011. This time last year, council allowed for extra money in the current fiscal budget to buy cameras for police officers and animal control. Unfortunately, since then, there's been such a demand for these things throughout the law enforcement industry as a whole that our supplier virtually doubled the price on it. It went from $399 each to $699 each. And that's cut down the total number of body cameras that we can purchase with funds in the budget. So what I would like to do is use this asset forfeiture money to augment that sale and cover the difference. One of the things that is required under Chapter 59 is if I'm going to spend that money on anything, I have to present it to the City Council and get approval before we budget this time last year. Within the budget for asset forfeiture, we only listed $1,200 in that particular line item. The actual numbers were 13,866. So toward the end of the fiscal year, the next time we made a budget amendment, we would also include that line item just to correct it. But that money is there in that special account for asset forfeiture. And also included is just a little breakdown of on each individual line item where I plan on spending money from.
Make a motion to accept.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept the request from the police chief to spend asset forfeiture money on the purchase of body cameras for the police department.
Good old supply and demand raises the price.
Is there any further discussion?
Can I ask a question? You can absolutely ask a question. Chief, what do you just go to one vendor? Do you just go to one vendor for those body cams?
Yeah, for something like this, we started our pilot program back in 2011, and then one kind of passed off on that. We're actually the first police department in Bexar County to actually start mandating the full-time wearer body cameras. So we were well ahead of San Antonio, Bexar County, and all the controversy that they're going through right now. So we, after looking at a couple of models, we went with Axon body cameras, which is Taser. It's the same company that makes Taser, because they were the cheapest at the time. But since then, they have become one of the largest vendors. To get back to your question, I would like to stay with the same vendor only because I want to stay consistent. Each body camera manufacturer configures theirs a little different. And I don't want the officer to get in a crisis situation, have to turn that camera on and take a minute to stop and remember, okay, which camera do I have so I remember how to turn it on. The Axon cameras, some of the officers refer to it as like Iron Man cameras, because there's a big old circle right in the middle, and with any
screen,
tap it twice and it turns the camera on. Even with the price increase, there's still one of the cheaper versions of the cameras. Officers are already well trained, familiar with the software. And like I was saying, San Antonio called me a couple months ago, invited to be a class to learn how to do body cameras. We don't need that. And I would rather, we've got 60 of these cameras now. Five of them are no longer functional because they would be also four of them. They were the original four that we bought. Three of them have got like a reduced battery life, so they only last a couple of hours before you have to recharge them. So I'm looking at replacing them. What I don't want to do is start into making technology. So if at all possible, I'd just like to stay with the Axon.
Okay. Thank you, Chief.
Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, can I make a clarification?
Okay. Okay, so do I need to make the motion to accept that and to amend the budget? That's
you
what
need
I
to
make
amend
that.
Your motion.
Okay, make that motion. I amend it to accept the chief's request and to amend the budget to accept it.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Avadaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Item 8C discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-841, authorizing the city to enter into an agreement for ambulance EMS billing services with KMP Associates, Inc., DBA Specialized Billing and Collection Systems of Texas, and authorizing the mayor or the city manager to execute such agreement. This is the second reading.
Is there anybody here from that business?
You have Assistant Chief William.
Bob, I'll wait for the motion for discussion.
They were here at the last meeting.
I know.
Mayor, I make a motion we accept ordinance O-2018-841, authorizing the city to enter into an agreement for ambulance EMS billing service with KP Associates.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to approve ordinance number O-2018-841. Councilmember Gray.
I have a problem with this company. As we all know, my son passed away a little over a year ago, and they were at my house. The EMS did a good job, received a bill, was told that if I sent the death certificate in, that everything would be handled. I did. Year goes by. They start billing me again. So who's running this place? And it wasn't a past due. It was brand new billing because I called. I don't know who I spoke to because it wasn't really good, a very good mood. So having been a victim of this company, I have no use for them myself. I'd rather us look somewhere else, but I'm sure it's not going to happen. Thank you.
Right. We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to accept ordinance number O-2018-841. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
No.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number O-2018-41 passes for the second reading. Item 8D, discussion and possible action, appointing a member to the board of directors of the Kirby Senior Center. We have been presented with an application from Mr. Eklund. As you know, the way that the articles of incorporation are, the city council has to approve their board of directors. Mr. Eklund, would you like to say anything? Or Mr. Eklund is here, by the way.
The only thing that I have to say is just what's already on the application. I've lived in Kirby for over 30 years. Been married to my wife for over 30 years. I've been very involved with the Senior Center off and on. Back when we first started, I was on the city council and we were going to the senior center to bring it into the city of Kirby. But just some of the stuff now and some of the things that the concerns that I see with the senior center, I think I need to be involved in what's going on.
I think we need to have you.
Are you, is that your motion?
I make a motion to accept the gentleman.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge to accept Mr. Jeff Eklund to the, appoint Mr. Jeff Eklund to the Board of Directors of the Kirby Senior Center. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember
Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Welcome aboard. Item 8B, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-842 to repeal ordinance number O-2005-618 to remove stop intersections at Vinecrest Drive and Cinderella Street and at Swan Lane and Telegraph Street from Schedule 1 of Chapter 72 of the Code of Ordinances. This is the first reading. I will turn this over to Chief Boyce.
In the past couple months, there had been discussion amongst the council and staff concerning these three-way stop signs and the fact that we really didn't feel that they were needed, and back at the time that they were erected for a purpose that is not really defined by TxDOT's manual on standard traffic devices. After watching the intersections for a while, we didn't think it was a big safety issue. These are both residential streets that are within, deep within the city, away from Ben's Engelman, Akron Road. The traffic is light. It's usually just the residents that live there. And from the police department standpoint, we didn't have an issue with moving the road. So the original plan was to first amend the ordinance that covers stop signs. However, once we got the ordinance out and read it, the original ordinance, 2005-618, was specifically created to create these particular intersections. So rather than amend it, the easiest, quickest action, if council approves, is just to repeal the ordinance in its entirety. If you approve it and then approve it for the second reading, at that point, I'll give the public works director, we'll come up with some temporary signs for a period of time advising people that this particular stop sign is going to be removed. Because since 2005, everybody's expecting cross traffic to stop. That will no longer happen. So we need to, just for safety reasons, make sure that the public is aware of that and send out letters to the people right in the immediate area. And then after a comfortable period of time, 30, 60, 90 days, whatever, whatever we determine, then we'll actually go ahead and remove the sign. And then place on the remaining stop sign, we'll place a smaller sign that we see in some municipalities, just advising people there that cross traffic doesn't stop.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion to accept.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca, to accept ordinance number O-2018-842 to repeal ordinance number O-2005-618.
Just a quick comment, Chief. I noticed in San Antonio, there's a couple intersections where actually it's posted on the stop sign. Cross traffic does not stop. We might consider a permanence, just recovery.
Yeah. What the plan will be is to get a temporary sign out.
Sure. And people are creatures of habit.
Yeah.
No, it's a good point. You have a good plan. I think it's excellent. Yeah, that would be a surprise. Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Okay, it was a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem,
Councilmember
Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, ordinance number O-2018-842 to repeal ordinance number O-2005-618 passes for the first reading. Item 8E,
F, here.
Yes.
You're good.
I've got two papers.
Okay.
Item 8F. Oh, because that's why. Item 8F, discussion and possible action regarding the traffic on Ben's Engelman Road. Mr. Hagsett, would you like to speak now?
I made a post on the first community
being said, I have a petition here. I have a petition here that is regards to the Benzing Woman Project. We the undersigned concerned citizens of Kirby that live on the Benzing Woman between Bud Waldron and Alan Shepard. We're particularly concerned about the vehicles that speed on this stretch of road. With construction finishing up soon and having a nice smooth road, we feel the speeding is only going to increase. We are asking the city of Kirby, the city council of Kirby, the mayor, city manager, and chief of police to approve two speed bumps, at least two, be installed in this area. We invite you to come over to this area and spend at least an hour with us. And you yourselves, as Patricia said earlier, either come over in an unmarked car or come to my house. I'll make coffee, tea, whatever. Come over. That's not a lot, or anything like that. That's just come over and you can sit there and you can watch. This petition is just from Bud Waldron to Alan Shepard. That's only 24 houses in that stretch of road. Out of 24 houses, there's 44 residents that are 18 years old. Out of those 44 residents, I had 35 respond yes, that they want speed bumps. I had 4 no responses, meaning no answer for a home. Yeah, 4 no responses of nobody answering the door. And that was of 2 houses. I have 4 no response, 4 negative response, and those negative responses are, my car's too low. My car sits 3 inches above the ground. I don't want speed bumps, but I'll sprint the ground. Raise your car. My truck would clatter around, lower the speed limit. Well, if y'all can't monitor and keep the traffic slowed down at 30 miles an hour, and you hear me for the 5th time now complaining about the traffic and the speed and wanting speed bumps, how is lowering the speed limit going to help? The other comment of the board that said negative was, it's a waste of time. It's an ongoing thing. It's been going on for 40 years. It's been going on for 30 years. So it's a waste of your time. Well, I'm coming to the council. I've been here 5 times now asking. I brought you a petition of all the people in that one block area, just the 4,800 block of Bentley, and show to them, yes, we do want speed bumps, you know, a third of each way. And right now is the perfect time to put them in because it can be incorporated in the asphalt as they're putting the road down. And it don't need to be that big. I got pictures. If any of y'all, I'll stay after. If any of y'all want to see, I've got pictures of the speed bump that we've already got because of construction, how it's working. It's the manhole cover. It only sticks up about an inch and a half, 2 inches. And it slows them down, except for those kids that do go around and they don't care about them. But that's what I have right now. And, you know, I'll stay around so you can see this, so that you can see the videos if you want. And this is the petition. And then, you know, do y'all have any questions?
I'll actually, as we discussed, I'll actually turn it over to Chief Boyce. Chief Boyce actually has been in that area, unbeknownst, and he's been spending quite a bit of time out there, so I'll let him address those concerns.
During my entire tenure as Chief, we always get complaints from citizens in certain areas about speeders in their particular areas here and there. And this is true in the 48. We have always gone out or have gotten the complaints, and to the best of our ability, we always send officers out there, kept them out there as long as possible before we have to point that I made a decision over the weekend that I was going to do exactly what you guys had suggested. So Monday morning, about 7 o'clock in the morning, I jumped in one of our unmarked cars, got a radar gun, went out there, and I sat out there for about a 45-minute time period just watching those two intersections, watching the way traffic was moving through it, the cross traffic, the pedestrians, the speeders. And I did learn some interesting things in watching and doing that. First off, the biggest concern that I have is with the stop signs and the way they're currently configured with the construction and everything that's going on. And I'll come back to kind of addressing that in a little bit. As far as the speeding, there are speeders that are on Benzing on the road. But during the times that I was out there, and it was anywhere, I think the shortest period of time I was out there was about an hour and 20 minutes. The longest time this afternoon, I was out there for nearly 2 hours in the afternoon just watching the traffic.
Chief, and, I just want to just confirm, you weren't out there just one day.
No, I wasn't out there.
Okay. I just want to make sure everybody understands it was not one time.
Yeah, I moved around different days. Times. Yeah, different days, different times in that unmarked car and parking there either just before the Springfield roadside or just after over by the senior center. And what I saw as far as the speeding, in my opinion, the vast majority of the vehicles moving through there were keeping their speed under 25 miles an hour, with a bigger portion of them staying under 20. There were a few. As a matter of fact, the three highest speeds that I did see, today I did clock one vehicle at 35. On Tuesday, there was one vehicle at 31. On Monday, there was one vehicle at 27. Everybody else that went through there was consistently lower than that. Very few above 25 miles an hour through the construction program. Today, I moved a little bit further down, on the other side, closer toward the crest side, and the minor traffic there for about a half an hour or so. Similar speeds were a little bit faster. I had a few more vehicles above 30, but still under 35, which raises the question, at what point, the speed limit, posted speed limit is 30, so at what point over 30 miles an hour do you stop somebody? You stop them at 31, 35. Typically what happens is that is a judgment call that the officer makes based on their own observation. Through my experience, that officers will not normally stop until you get up to the 38, 39, that 8th, 9th, 10th mile over. Anything below that, if they stop it, it's usually like a school zone or some other mitigating factor that prompts them to stop that. One of the things that I do caution everybody that I talk to is, as the chief of police, I cannot dictate at what speed the officer will be. You will stop everybody at 35 miles or 5 miles over speed limit, you will issue it. Can't do that. Can't give them any understanding of what I'm saying that could lead them to any type of thing for court or anything. As a matter of fact, the code is very precise and even uses the words that I cannot even bring it up in a casual conversation to an officer that you should give them a ticket or you will give them a ticket at this speed limit or you will write a text amount of tickets for this. So we leave that strictly up to the officer, and it's a judgment call on the officer, and what he is supposed to do is look at the mitigating factors around the event. What's going on, what type of street, school zone, neighborhood, FM 78. And usually an officer will pick a speed, and that is usually the 8th or 9th mile. At that point or lower, if they stop you, it's usually a warning. They usually do not start writing tickets till like the 9th or 10th mile. Now that is a complete judgment call with that specific officer. So getting back to Ben Zingelman, looking at the way it is now, and you had mentioned the speed hump, right in about the middle of the block, not too far from your house, there's a manhole that was...
I mean, we're going back to where the construction area is?
Yeah, back into the construction zone. Just about the middle of the block, give or take a couple of feet, I didn't get out there and measure it, there is a manhole that they've excavated around, and as you carry through construction zones and other areas, they were reaching the stop sign on the other side, their speed was back up to 19, 20, 21 miles an hour before they had to start braking. Now, the speed limit there posted is 30. The construction company does have the ability to lower the speed limit by no more than 10 miles over the posted speed limit, or under the posted speed limit. So they could lower that to 20 if they chose to do so, but they'd have to provide the signage. That's the same way with, on TxDOT, where you see the signs that say, if workers are present, traffic fines are doubled. That is something that would be at the discretion of the contractor, because it's his people out there. And we have had that discussion, and we'll get to that probably in the next item, where both Gilbert and I have had discussions with the contractor about concerns over the way that is set up. I'll go back. Next item. Right now, my biggest concern is, and I have made recommendations that they bring out portable stop signs. There were a couple of instances where I saw a similar, and it might have even been the same plumbing truck that just kind of rolled right on through while I was sitting there. It actually got to the point on Tuesday where I called the patrol office and was like, one here, one year there, watch that stop sign. And the rest of the time I was out there, they watched those until they had other calls to go on. But I think the reason being with that is the way they've got it set up right now, all the traffic is being shuffled to the south side of the street where they've got company going lanes. Especially at Buzz Aldwin, if you're heading towards Springfield Road, where you would expect a driver to stop for the stop sign, The stop sign itself is almost two lanes of shoulder sidewalk. It's in the yard, maybe as much as 40 feet away. So what I was witnessing led me to believe that it wasn't so much a driver coming up and saying, well, look, there's a stop sign, I need to stop, and willfully rolling through it, but just not realizing that stop sign waiting over there was telling him to stop in the lane of traffic. So we made a recommendation on portable stop signs, getting them out there, setting them up. So far today, while they went out and made major improvements in cleaning up those barrels and repositioning them, they widened the lanes a little bit. What I have seen over the past days is instead of the original plan where they were going to close the north side, fix the north side, move the traffic to the brand new north side, and then start construction on the south side. It looks like they're just working curb to curb. Because I had several occasions where, I'm watching a gentleman with a gas powered, it's like a chainsaw with a circular saw. He's cutting the curb, and there's a car coming up, and actually had to stop and wait for him to realize, because he's bent over, his feet out, and had no clue there was a car trying to get by. So there are some concerns with the way that whole intersection is laid out and how the traffic is flowing through it. I was hoping that a representative from the contractor would be here today so that we could ask them and kind of address these issues. Unfortunately, because of scheduling issues, they weren't able to be here. At the first available opportunity to get them into a meeting, whether it's just with myself as the police chief or myself as the acting city manager, Gilbert, I want to sit down with them and see what we can do about addressing the construction. Now, once the construction is done, I kind of agree with what he said. You're going to get that new smooth pavement, and I do think there is a potential to see an increase in speeds. While I will admit right now on Ben Zingelman, this is what I've seen even going beyond the construction zone. I think there are speeders on Ben Zingelman, but I classify it as a speeding problem or a racetrack or a demolition derby. I don't think we need to go that far, but we do need to recognize that there are speeders that need to be addressed on Ben Zingelman as a whole. We've redirected the officers to, when they're not on a call, a disturbance or a roadway or something like that, to kind of meet them in that area, watching traffic. If they have to go handle on a call, get the other call handled. And if there's nothing more pertinent holding them, get back over to those intersections. And we've got a similar situation going up on FM 78 to kind of address the speed. comments have been made, and you know, I've kind of alluded to them as well. Depending on the day of the week, there's two, maybe three officers on duty. So we have to kind of prioritize the calls as they come in. I'm always telling them to get out there, watch the traffic, think about that. But there's just some times when we get a violent disturbance. We get a violent disturbance, and I've got to send everybody, including the detectives and myself, to go handle that disturbance. And then once the disturbance is done and we get to we start, we don't need you, we don't need you. Those officers are supposed to go back out, and then hopefully there's nothing holding, and they can get back to, we call them a step position, selected traffic enforcement. And what that is a point where I will look at the day shift, okay, I need you guys to concentrate on Buzz Aldrin and Ben Zingler, where we've had a lot of complaints or a lot of accidents that step needed to get sprawled. So we'll come up with these. And when we do this, it's always with the understanding that my comment is, when you get to this area, you will stop every vehicle that you see committing a traffic offense. Once you get them stopped, then you issue a warning or a citation as appropriate for the circumstances of that stop. So, now as far as speed bumps, I know there are big pros to speed bumps. Also, there are big cons to speed bumps. At this point, I would be hard-pressed to take a side. I do think it does warrant what he is saying, is that at this point, maybe at least do some research, look into it, find out what could be done, and again, not supporting one way or another, I do think maybe some due diligence into looking at the project and coming up with some recommendations as to how we go about it and what we could do or should.
If you want to ask a question.
Thank you. I mean, I've got a little matchbox speed gun, but you know, I haven't got out there and sat there and watched and played with it to shoot cars. That's all I need. Sitting out there and you shot yourself. But thank you. At least you know, and we've seen you sitting out there. You know, we've seen black points out there. I think, like you said, it was Tuesday. We had one on both ends, and we've seen you a couple times. So yeah, we know that you're there, and we appreciate it. You know, that's just, you know, it's an issue. That, you know, like I said, it's an issue that's been going on for 4 or 5 years. I've been here 5 times. You know, and now that I've gotten as an acquaintance of mine would say, since I've gotten into the community aspect of living in the Kirby, I found out the first six houses, or the first three houses, six total on the park side of my block, we've got over 100 grandkids in those six houses. It's like, wow. You know, I didn't think it would happen. You know, but it's an issue, and that's why last time I was here, I pointed out to y'all and said it's going to be on y'all's head when one of these little kids get bitten killed. You know, I think there are certain times we won't get into that. I'm off the beat, but the no good traffic. You know, I've watched people turn down. Alan Shepard coming from the south side, and they come down the middle towards me, and I was like, why are you coming down this way when you didn't break here?
And I agree with that. I noticed as well that the construction company did put the no through traffic signs up, but they're not enforcing that. They're not actually shutting down the whole road.
And they said that's because the city said they couldn't.
Okay. I that is not any discussion.
That's what they told us.
They
took the one sign. It's late when they lay in her yard, when they leave in my yard.
That's the construction company telling me that.
Yes.
I have not been involved in any conversations. As a matter of fact, I recommended as early as yesterday to Public Works that we get a hold of these people. And my recommendation was to shut it down completely, leave a small gap opening for the residents that block to slip in and out. Because as you guys saw yesterday, and I do have some video tape and some photographs, they're working clear across. There were times where traffic had no stop on their own because of a back door,
Chief, may I interject here for a moment? You know, I'm a police officer, and I work for a company, and we do this exact type of business called lane closures. And the city of San Antonio, well, we work all over. Anything to TxDOT, we do all these different things. And we're one of the few cities that doesn't require an off-duty officer on site. And the second thing is, in the penal code, if there is a person even just called a flagman, even though he's a civilian, if he has a safety vest on and a flag, then if he passes by, that's a ticket that the city can write. But having said that, the signage is up there, road closed, no through traffic. And I think the contractor means that that's just for people so they could go to their house.
Right.
But we are not allowing, the contractor has not taken it upon himself to put someone there to divert traffic. And that's exactly what the problem is, because since there's nobody standing there during the duration of while the workers are there, with a sign that's pointing, no, turn around or whatever, they take them on themselves to drive through there. And I believe, I know with TxDOT roads, like FM 78, which I've worked many road jobs up and down there, even an off-duty officer with red and blue lights as I have on my pickup, I can stop all the traffic. Now, I can't write them a ticket, but the city that it occurs in, because Converse, I did a job in Converse, and they were writing tickets like crazy when they drove past those signs. So I know for a fact that if it says road closed, I don't care how much area is on either side of that sign, the road's closed, and it's only available to the residents. Now,
and that's not what's happening.
Exactly.
Through traffic, if they are under the assumption that it's an open street taking them to 78, no.
I understand, and what I was going to suggest is that, first of all, that sign disappears, and then it comes back and says residents only, available to residents only.
Oh,
yeah, but here's the thing. Exactly. But in the lady's case back there, her son, I know for a fact, is disabled, and she's got to be able to get to her driveway.
Right.
Okay, so the point of it is, if they just put up their closed to through traffic, residents only, that gives the city the option to either write warnings or write a ticket for disobeying. And even though it's temporary signage, it still pertains to the city.
That would also require the officer to be present to witness the misdemeanor. Correct.
That's the misdemeanor, yes.
Which is half of one of the issues we're dealing with.
I understand that. Yeah.
We're sending the officers out there and asking them to stay out there as long as possible, but Murphy's Law.
Oh, yeah. No, that's, wait, but let me ask you this.
Get there, we'll get another call that we're going to send them on.
But can we not get back with the contractor and say, okay, you're going to have to put, for your safety and our safety.
That will be the discussion on our next, go ahead, but you'll get more information on that part on our next item.
Okay, all right. Well, I didn't know how far you were going. I'm sorry.
No.
Being run.
Well,
because I was out there. I've been out there way before the construction started. I do pictures. I've got my own video system, action system set up in my vehicle. So I've been out before the construction started, during the construction started, again today, on and off on different times. The speed, I don't see it. You get closer to some other people's houses, then the speed does pick up. But in that short area right there, the only thing I usually see is those stop signs being run. And even at Fred Hayes, when you're at Fred Hayes, even down there, that's where the speed starts picking up. But Fred Hayes will usually blow right through and come out right by your house. I've watched them blow that stop sign. It don't make it yet. It doesn't make a difference. It's any direction you want to go. At one point in time, they're going to run it. I sat up there at one area for a little over an hour, and in that hour, didn't see anybody speeding. But I witnessed people running the stop sign probably one every between 6 to 9 minutes, one vehicle.
Yep.
For that time frame, one vehicle every 6 to 9 minutes was blowing through a stop sign.
Not to discredit or I'm using the wrong word, but I'm only here for one reason.
I want to know the timelines.
When these things
are happening.
Rush hour.
Okay, what is your rush hour timeline? I've been there at 11:30 to after 1:30, because that to me is a rush hour time that somebody's going to be going up and down Benzing.
Rush hour is morning rush hour, night rush hour, and evening rush hour. She just sat out there and just watched, and you said that you sat out there and watched. And I'm not denying that you, but I'm saying you watch cars go through there and they don't kick up dust. But then you watch car go zooming through, and I've got video of cars that go through, kick up dust as if the.
I've witnessed that too, and they're usually good about 30 miles an hour, which is the posted speed limit on that area.
If I could, Chief, when you get with the contractor, it should be incumbent on him, and it is the lanes have handled before, if the stop sign is not in the logical, what they call logic, then the contractor by the city of San Antonio, almost every city I've worked in, are required to put up portable stop signs.
Correct.
That's part of the requirement.
And we address that in several other issues.
Okay. And the other thing, now I was going to get to you, and it's kind of funny that we got into this because I missed the last meeting and I need to apologize, but I was working out in the sun and I'm old. But anyway, I just talked to the chief tonight. I live in the 5100 block of Ben Zittelman. And it's kind of funny, the eastbound traffic, by the time they get to my house, they're clocking pretty good. And what's so cool, it's horrible to say this, you want to talk about a speed bump? It's about, and I'm not jacking, it is this deep, and the guy puts perfect because he parks his car right there. So this is normally after dark because they don't see it, and it's so cool. All I hear is, and you can go look on Ben Zittelman, just past my house, about 10 houses, and you'll see where they bottom out. I'm waiting for the oil pan to come off, and a big puddle will be there, okay? So as diligent as our chief is, I don't know how to say it. I started out here in 1975 as a police officer. I worked every street in here, worked traffic to where there was no calls from midnight to 8 o'clock in the morning. You ended up trying to stay hitting the curbs. But anyway, what I'm saying to you is, as we change out here, and both of you made a good point, the two vehicles that you saw run it were not Kirby people. They were people who were out of their element, who weren't used to it, and they weren't not keeping a proper lookout, okay? So this happens, and we get more and more. As a matter of fact, I was so happy I started taking pictures. I was coming to council meeting, 18-wheeler was getting stopped right down here on Ben Zittelman. Oh, yeah, I'm thinking. But here's the thing. I think is if we work together as a community, okay, and address these as they come up, I think in my little opinion, let the street get finished, okay? Let's observe it when it gets to its pristine condition, okay? I think you're correct, all right? And, yeah, if you're going over the speed limit, or even if you're doing a speed, your car, it might drag. So you need to slow down. That's what it's called a speed bump for. I don't know what marble person didn't figure that one out. But anyway, I've lived there a number of years. But what's so funny is that eastbound, they pick up and then they hit that. So I think maybe once the work is done, and then once it's pristine and we look at that and do another survey and base it on that, would you think that might be an answer? Let me tell you, I, way back, with another police chief, I had to get into a little discussion about putting signage on Ackerman by the elementary, about no stopping. That's why it's so descriptive. It has three different things. No stopping, that means you can't park there with the motor running, you can't park, whatever, because I kept telling them a kid was going to get hit. Sure enough, on a bicycle, bam. Okay, so that's why the signage is so descriptive. And not to try to be anything, but this gentleman sitting here, we have gone since I've lived here through, 11 chiefs? Does that sound about right? I think it's John. Anyway, it's more than one.
This is going from 1 to 11.
That's a big stretch.
I got pulled over one time for being back in the city when I was probably 20-something years old, coming fresh out of town by a patrol officer who ended up being the chief.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm saying to you, but I'm going to say to this chief here. Number 13. I knew it was somewhere around there, but I was going to tell you, Chief, all kid aside, folks, for whatever this is worth, this gentleman here has been the most cooperative, the most proactive working with this community. We've had some chiefs. I'll tell you one. You want to talk about being PO'd? I come home one night, and the flagpole at the senior citizen is laying on the ground, and all the flags are gone.
Let's go back in.
Yeah, but I reported that to the chief, and he said, why didn't you take care of it?
So,
but not this chief.
We're going to go back to this discussion item as far as traffic on Benzingelman. So Chief Boyce has been working with his team and his officers. He's obviously seen some of the same things that are happening. So when we get into the next item, we'll hear more of that too. But just be assured that our chief of police and our department as a whole, our police department, is aware of those issues because, again, when you live on that street, that is the most important street in the city. There are several residents on other streets that have the exact same concerns as you. And, again, regardless of how big or small our department is, our department can't be everywhere at every time. So it's not that your concerns aren't valid. It's just there's not an easy answer. But I'm confident that our chief of police can come up with something, especially after we get through this piece of construction that seems to be a nightmare at the moment. So is there any further discussion about this one?
You did good.
All right. We will go to item 8G, update and possible action on the construction project on Benzingelman. Moving right in, this is a great segue into that piece of it. I'll turn it over to our Superintendent Gilbert and our Chief Boyce again. However, I just wanted to make comments about this as well. So it's my plan that until this project is completed, that we at least have this item on the agenda at least once every month. The reason being is because there's not the contractor itself, they are responsible for a lot of items, including traffic control, including those traffic devices. There's a lot of, when our residents call, there's a lot of, well, the city said we can't do this, we can't do that. I was hoping that either Ford Engineering, who is our engineer for the city, or SAC contractors would be here so that the residents could also address those issues that they're having. However, both of them aren't here for scheduling conflicts. However, we could table this item until one of them shows up, but I would prefer not to do that because I believe that our chief of police and Gilbert have information and they can at least address the concerns of what they've done about the water being taken from people's homes other than just gathering a drink, the trash, the utter disregard for residents living in that area, not being mindful of the traffic that's going in there as well, and also the complete confusion of their communication to residents, not only to residents, but to city council as a whole, because I actually had a conversation or a message conversation with Mr. Hagstadt, because there was a letter that was put on the residents' doors when they couldn't call. I mean, it was after hours. So I actually got that letter, and I had sent it to our city manager, and she actually got on the horn, and she called Roy, SAC, regarding that, and wasn't answering her calls, or didn't return her calls until the next day. So it was really hard because what I had said was going to happen didn't happen, but that was the information we had. They were only going to do one side of the street,
mm-hmm.
get that, and allow free flow traffic where they could control it, and then do the other side of the street. However, until I received that copy of the letter and passed it on, this council had no idea that if the whole street was going to be done at one time.
Thank you.
Then they sent the letter that said that it was completely closed from 7 to 5:30 going through June 22nd. However, that's not what the signage says. The signage says closed to through traffic. So it didn't say that the whole road was closed. Then it said that they wanted residents, again, to park on the side streets. But then they were taking all of the parking places, having residents have to walk a mile to their own homes. The other thing was, too, if emergency vehicles had to get in there, whether it be fire or police or even our public works department to address issues, there was not or is not, I believe you said now, that they made a few adjustments with that, but there really wasn't an effective way for our own personnel to get in there. So that is why I asked them to come tonight, but they have not, they're not here, so I will let Gilbert speak to some of those concerns as well about what you've done with, as far as addressing Roy and that group.
Mayor Council, I have gone out there and I have explained to them that about the trash, I've received pictures on two occasions. I told them that they need to respect our residents and get the back of themselves. I've also addressed them as far as taking water to customers. They're not to do that. They should have what they need on site. The signage out there, when we talk about it, the idea was when you're initially doing the project itself, they were going on one side, have full traffic, but at the same on this side, that they're going on. If they're working on one side, the other side is going to have an area for them to work, park their vehicles, doing safety. Construction side, when you're working, you want to make sure that if traffic's going southbound and your vehicles are on that same side, to where if a vehicle were to run through your traffic and hit the trucks or the equipment before it hits the employees. This particular job, they're going around and they're moving it over to one side, doing the job on this side, and doing smaller tasks on the opposite. That is a safety issue, which has been brought up also. I've spoken with them on several occasions about that, and I told them, drive your job site, which I've done also. Make sure that you're communicating clearly to the public as far as your traffic setup. Make sure that they know, because not everybody is an expert in construction or road closures or signage or anything. So you have to make sure you communicate clearly with our public for their employee safety, but also for our resident safety. That's been addressed as well. I noticed that with contractors, of course, they want to try to get it done and out of the way. And of course, we don't want to block traffic. Whenever you're blocking traffic, you need flaggers, you need that 24-inch by 24-inch. Call them and say, you guys have 9 yards to stop them, you know, flaggers. We had discussed closing down the street as of yesterday. The idea was no through traffic, and only for residents only, but they didn't have that sign just there. Any additional signage, of course, would provide costs, and then we have to talk that over, so we can bear that cost.
But the signage would be supplied by them as the contractor. It's not the city's responsibility.
It's based on what's in the contract and what's outlined on there.
Okay.
And the contract says no new traffic, but it doesn't require residents only, and we add that on there, then that would be an extra item that we would possibly change.
Okay.
So, that was the initial idea, was just to allow residents access to their homes, you know, and make it a little bit easier. We discussed closing down the street actually today. There was minimal work done there today. They didn't close the street, so they left it open. There wasn't very much being done there, and that's another thing. There's been times where there hasn't been work done. There's been times where there's minimal work done out there, and it's not going the way it should. They're a little bit behind schedule.
Do you know how long that they are behind schedule?
This is good to work here. They are in phase one as of right now.
Yeah. They've been there for a while.
It's phase one. It seems to be the rather large.
Yeah. And that's only this much.
Thank you.
I can't officially give them any reason why they're
right.
Not moving. But that's, I know they're in that area. They're behind schedule.
Can I ask you a question, sir? You know, I understand you got to get to work. Got no problem with that. But we have from Springfield to where our old city limits sign is, where they're building that one building there on the south side, why can't they park their vehicles along that curb line and leave our citizens the parking that they normally have?
I'll address that.
Please. Or Springfield. I mean, the point of it is, you know, you've got to know there's people there that have needs. And, I mean, these guys, and the one that got me the most is, though, they did a two-way, okay? And the traffic coming westbound going towards Springfield, I come up in that lane, and their dump truck is coming straight at me. And it's like, where would you like me to go? I mean, you're a lot bigger than I am, so I am going to back up. I got no problem with that. But why would you make a two-way traffic and then you run down the wrong side in your vehicle with nobody in front?
See right there, obviously driving a dump truck is going to require, then most times they're going to require a class A CDL. The operator of the vehicle should know better than that. However, whenever they are driving around,
and I got you. Oh, I understand.
When they do that, so maneuver their vehicles so they're positioned to not cause damage or to get the job done safe, in a safer way. They maneuver, sometimes you go against traffic. However, when they do that, they are obligated to stop, give notification.
Right.
So that was one thing that wasn't done. So
but see, they changed it on you. They changed we got into the game and they changed the rules. And the rules were working on one side and then working on the other. And, you know, you're putting sidewalks in on both sides. You got guys running back and forth across the street. And I tell you what, if an OSHA person came out here, the average day would be about $20,000 in fines, which is not our responsibility. Half those guys run around with no vests.
And,
you know, I mean, things can't, but the thing is, it's not that I want to be nitpicking, but it's for their safety. I don't want one of them guys being a hood ornament.
I absolutely do.
I hear you.
I mean, the project is a lot of money, and if it's in the contract for them to provide those services, it absolutely needs to be followed by, you know, to the T.
And as far as the street being closed and working on one side and the other side, the ideal time when we're going to do that is when we're actually laying the asphalt on the street or when they're building the street. So moving forward, we were talking about it also, and we advised them that we should close the street from now on, leaving access only to the public on Thursdays to pick up the residents' garbage and also to the residents that are living in that area. One small concern is that I have, and I have voiced this to contractors as well, in closing the street, I know personally because I've seen it and I've run job sites like 4 minutes in the past before we close down the street. And sometimes the workers or the operator gets a little complacent.
Yes.
And they get complacent because they're like, oh, there's no traffic here. Let me back up and not look at my backhoe behind me, and here comes a resident coming out. And I know I do understand we have residents with some health issues or that need access, and I have spoken with a couple residents, and I want to reassure you all, and I reassured them that, you know, I'm going to do my due diligence to make sure that they are.
I saw you on the job site. I have no problem with that.
That's the one thing I want to say. I have absolutely zero question that you are doing everything in your power to address every one of these concerns. And quite frankly, I don't think that our city staff should have to be involved as much as they are with the situation. There's also, I know for a fact that on numerous occasions that they have also been contacted because those big rigs are going from Gaiety down Kirby, down Happiness, down Benzingelman, to Crest, down Benzingelman. I've personally witnessed it. I'm absolutely sure you've probably seen them.
Just follow the dirt trail.
Oh, yeah.
a few,
kind of like fairy dust.
Yeah.
Again, to, I believe it was last week, I don't recall the exact date, I got a camera, so I take pictures of everything out there, and I have a USB where I save it. But I was driving down Benzingelman, and I noticed a Bobcat with a truck behind it took a left turn and crest. So I saw an opportunity. I went around. I kind of knew the direction it was going. I parked on the Cinderella. I waited. And sure enough, there it go. So, quit and made a phone call. So, you know, they know they need the path, and it's been explained which way they need to go. From an operator standpoint, you know, again, being on machinery, the suspension is terrible. They might want to avoid some of those things. However, that was the instruction, and they used it too.
Well, and not only that, but they're going on other streets, and Happiness itself just had the water mains replaced along with Arneson and Scotsman. So that area, so those streets were fresh. They have less than 6 months of new asphalt on it, which, again, have already started.
They're running a hard track. They're not running a rubber track on about three or four of those
outcasts. So after the repeatedly telling them the same thing, at what time or what recourse do we have as far as that piece? Because when this project started, we were all told this is the TxDOT approved, this is MPO, there's going to be heavy scrutiny by all these parties involved. And unfortunately, the only oversight that I see is our actual city staff, which to me, our resources are all being spent, and like we talked in this phase one, the shortest part, most likely, of the whole project. But it is the same thing. Our residents have the same thing. They've talked, and I know for a fact that they've reached out on that, on the paperwork, and actually contacted their, you know, that contact number. But then if they don't get a call back, then the only recourse they have is to contact the city. And then again, it goes to you. So again, you're contacting them, and it's just repeatedly going on and on. So at what point, because again, if they're responsible for the traffic control, that part's in the contract, right, that they would provide flagmen and stuff?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much standard.
Just confirming it.
Yes.
So, you know, so at the same time, I've personally witnessed, and no, I did not drive through there, I've personally witnessed that the guy is sitting there, like, no flag, no vest, and it did say closed through traffic, and he's just bringing them on in. Like,
waving you through.
Yeah, that's like what I'm saying. So, again, they're not following that piece of it. Somebody looking in doesn't really know what's going on with that piece. We've already been told by our police department as well that a lot of the traffic that goes through our city, as we all know, is transient traffic. It's not even people who are here. They're coming from 10 to Ben Zingelman, out to Springfield, out to 78, or vice versa. They're going through other places. So again, they're not seeing those pieces. It's unfamiliar to them. But it just seems like it's the same thing. And it was the same thing with their last project here.
Correct.
There's reports of them leaving their equipment on people's yards, and it's browning the grass. It's killing the grass. Same thing that happened with the previous project. It's the same thing. Now it's just a different street and a different project.
Also, what they're doing is also not subcontractors out there. The concrete contractor out there is a sub.
He's not the same one, he's a sub.
Yeah, so the project manager, can't really.
May I say this in the nicest form of that I can say it? I think it's time for a come to Jesus meeting with these folks. Okay? You know, we have our attorney sitting here, and he's taking all this in. I'm quite sure that the contract can be enforced and it's brought to their attention. There's got to be, in fact, I know there's got to be, not only we talked about delinquency and time and censure on that, but not fulfilling the contract and a safety issue. And I want to ask, if they do not do everything they can to protect their workers and one of them gets hurt, are we going to be dragged into this?
Anybody can sue anybody.
That's right, I'm saying. Exactly, sir.
It doesn't mean they win.
Exactly. But that means we've got to put the money up to defend it.
Well, in an instance like that, I think your insurance coverage through the
Texas
Municipal
League
will be invoked, which is a shame. But lawsuits, even when you don't have liability, are distracting and time-consuming, if nothing else. So I think, as the mayor said, we're not being picky. We're saying this is what you agreed by contract
exactly
to do. We expect you to adhere to the contract. And if they don't adhere to the contract, we need to look at the contract to see what the consequences are and what the city's rights are in the way of enforcement. My guess is, and Gilbert, tell me if I'm wrong, that this contract was written by our engineers using the standard engineer form
yes.
for a construction project.
Correct.
Which means it's 100 pages long and print smaller than what I have in my hand. And buried somewhere in there are some provisions about what happens if the contractor defaults. Typically, there's a long notice and cure period and things like that, but we have to start somewhere. So what Gilbert is doing by being out there, taking photographs, documenting, and continuing to contact the project superintendent is the right thing to do right now. And
okay.
at some point, it may get escalated to a different level. I personally think that if they have hired a subcontractor and the subcontractor is not performing, it's up to their project manager to go to the president of the subcontracting company and say, fix it. And if that's not being done, I think Gilbert should encourage them to do that.
Thank you.
Gilbert? This is an MPO, a TxDOT contract to MPO. Is there
yes.
anything that we can do with TxDOT or MPO itself in trying to get some assistance?
I would say I'm sure there is, because they're involved in everything. So they go out and have a meeting to get our reports that we send. Mark says more than all the time, they kind of oversee.
That's kind of what I got the sense in the text message from the contractor today, that they're required to meet with TxDOT on a semi-regular basis. And I don't know if we've seen how often, but they're not required to meet with you or I or council.
And the contractors, if I'm not mistaken, when TxDOT meets with them, they go out there and check, inspect the job, inspect safety, inspect things like that. And what's going on, making sure all the building, what they're doing for the windings, everything is in place, that everything is correct. So the amount of funds and the charges that are being assessed to the city and the that they're requesting on our state. As far as the contract is working out there, what's going on, I'm not part of those meetings. I don't know what they discuss, what they haven't exactly.
Gilbert, if I may, we might check if it is an MPO, which I'm sure it is. That's what we had. All the jobs that I work, TxDOT shows up at least once a week and inspects that job. And if they don't have vests on, I mean, he will rip them. That's because that's part of the state participates in this, and this is state funding. So consequently, I guess that would be the deep pockets if somebody were to get hurt. But they, on the other hand, they have to adhere to TxDOT's requirements. So that might also bring your signs around. And by the way, the engineer's office is at Old South Florist and 410 for this side of town. So, sir? It's 19, I can't remember what the 122 or whatever it is, but right there at where Old South Floors hits 410 on the southeast side of the intersection is the engineer's office for this district, for TxDOT. And I can already
fall back on our placing of the engineers that we have, Ford Engineering, through the city of Kirby to stay on top of this, because that's what Mark just stated. The lawyer, put all the responsibility falls back on Ford Engineering, which happened not to be here, along with San Antonio's contractors, not to be here. Which then Ford Engineering then has to go back through the issues that we're having, and they are needing to make the contact situations to put these and address these with whether it's the contractor, subcontractor, his people, and with TxDOT, and the people with the MPO. Because you can have people running around. That right there is by OSHA.
Yep. I was going to ask you.
You guys are discussing the company that I worked for when we were doing this. We all had to get certified.
Yep.
So we could go out and make those calls. I could go out there right now and get a hold of them
and advise them exactly what he's saying. If they're not doing the proper PPE,
correct.
Anything else, if they've got an extension cord out there that's not properly set up for the grounding and everything else, I can make the call.
My biggest concern with
bite.
And my biggest concern with all of this is at our last council meeting, this was also on the agenda for an update. We asked Ford Engineering to come. Ford Engineering sent a representative that had absolutely no idea about the project, what the goings-on were. He read from a script just about this is where we're at, this is phase one, this is what they're doing, and that was all. He couldn't answer any of the questions, and we were asking about why did the project start in here? You know, like, why did it start here? Why didn't it start at the other end where it's more severe? We asked traffic. I don't know. Why about the, I don't know. I mean, every answer or every question was, I don't know. I'll have to go back and talk. I don't ask. So again, now we're here. They've had 2 weeks to get all of those questions answered, and they didn't show up again. And location, scheduling conflicts, what have you. But again, the city, as we all know, pay a lot of money to Ford Engineering to sit there and tell us they're not going to come, or I don't know.
Would you think it'd be a good time to sit down and have that meeting between all the heads?
Yeah, well, and that's kind of where I was wondering what our recourse is, because again, our residents as well as because it's coming down your way soon.
I know.
So, you know, the whole thing is, I can't imagine that unless we nip it right now, where this little span of construction is, that moving forward, when it encompasses a larger set of residents and a larger set of streets, and where you had mentioned that the traffic starts getting, you know, more
accelerated.
Thank you, accelerated. That it's going to be any different. And as far as their methods of operation, I'm seeing the same thing. The residents are saying the exact same thing on Ben Zingelman that the residents on Happiness were saying about the care that they're taking of their we had the same thing, water being used, you know, everything. So that's why I'm just wondering what we can do. And I understand his contract doesn't call for meeting with department or meeting with the city or meeting with this person. However, at some point, since this is in our city and it's taxpayers' money that's also going to that, even though the majority is funded with grant, I believe that at some point that we should, every one of us, have an ownership in the fact that they're doing the right thing. And again, this is nothing for you, because I know absolutely that you have been every place at every time. However, we had water main breaks. He's sending his guys, and he needs to check on them, and he can't because he's dealing with other stuff that's going on because they're not even oversight. Then if something happens, the excuse is, oh, that's my subcontractor. I'll talk to them. I've heard that excuse like 6 times since this started, and that's ridiculous, because if that is your subcontractor, then you should know what your subcontractor's doing because they're working for you. And that was kind of – I'm really upset, honestly, very disappointed that they're not here to address any of the residents that are here as well. But if there is something that we can do that to hold them to the fire, to make sure that that piece of, you know, the contract, at the very least, like Councilmember Pierce said, the PPE, which I know you've addressed, the traffic that you've addressed, every piece of it, even if it is 100 pages, unfortunately, that's going to be a long job. And again, here we are. We're going to have to pay our lawyer now to go through that with a fine-tooth comb because they're not doing their job.
I was going to say, look up the performance issue and the issues concerning these things. I think we need to make the print much larger.
Not only that, but it's a nightmare for our accounting team as well, because they have to make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed for the city to even get their funding back for what was out. So it's very time sensitive, and I know for a fact that Tina has a schedule as well, and she can't miss a beat or else the city doesn't get refunded or funded that money for that job.
Well, maybe we should have you put on their payroll to pay part of your salary. What do you think?
Well, I mean, honestly, he's actually working in that capacity, and of course...
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't see a foreman down there with a hat on except him.
I'm really concerned that, again, they're behind schedule, for one, and it's not weather, because there hasn't been any rain. to that effect. So I just want to be able to figure out what we can do to ensure that this is over, because after this piece is over, then we can address the other issues, but one is causing the other.
Correct.
I do have one question, and this will go back to you too. Being that this has taken well over a year, I know that much, just to even get set up through TxDOT and the MPO, getting all that done before any of the work was started. I just want to know, is there any clause in there that we go back to Mike's about their performance or anything else that's falling through the cracks and not being able to do that, where we can just shut them down completely and bring somebody else in that we, even if it is, because again, this was the lowest bid granted by Ford Engineering. Good to go.
And TxDOT concurred.
Yeah, right there.
Because they are preferred.
So the next bidder that was on the list, we just turn around and say, hey, we know you didn't get the job, but as a city being a municipality, we can refuse at any given point whether we want to let them accept it, or we're going to let them accept the bid, or we want to go with somebody else.
Is there a notice clause?
There's bid openings and everything else. So.
But we can still refuse it. We can kick out the lowest bid, depending on their performance, and go to the next one in that line.
Is there any clause?
In order to answer that question, I would need to review the contract, okay? But the one comment that I would make, Mayor, that I think might help, is this is probably not the first time a TxDOT or MPO project has had a municipality not satisfied with the performance of the contractor. And it seems to me that it might be a good use of Gilbert's time, or maybe even the chief's time, to go and have a sit down with their peers at the MPO and at TxDOT and say, this is what is happening on our project. I'm sure you've seen this before. What steps have been taken before to get things like this resolved? And that may be a good interim step that is not as costly as having me go through a long contract to see if that helps get someone's attention. And I think the same thing is true about a clear statement delivered to both the contractor and the city engineer to have that identifies in advance the things that the city is concerned about and ask them to come to the next council meeting or the council meeting after that and be prepared to address specifically each of those items so that you can hear directly from them what is going on, and you can ask more questions and have someone with authority here to give you answers. I was here last meeting when the gentleman from Ford Engineering, you know, came and said, you know, I'll check on this, I'll check on that. And I think it's reasonable for the city to expect a response, you know, whether it was at this meeting or the next meeting, to expect a response. And I think the same thing might be possible to try and get the project, the superintendent or the foreman or somebody with some supervising authority from the contractor, again, to hear, to know in advance what the issues are, have an opportunity to explain what is going on, and then to respond to more questions, which I am comfortable will come up as a consequence of those discussions. But it certainly sounds to me, as I think it sounds to the mayor and other members of the council, that our staff is doing what they can do. So absolutely, what we'd like to do is try and get the people who are really responsible for these issues in front of the council.
I promise you, if OSHA came out here, they'd shut them down. Trying to shut them down.
But shutting them down
doesn't help us. Exactly.
Doesn't
that's my point.
Achieve the purpose of this.
Correct.
Of this contract.
Yeah,
so
I think you're better.
The idea here is to try to find a way to incentivize them to get this done
correctly
in a way that's satisfactory to the city and the least disruptive to the affected residents.
There you go. Yeah, I agree.
So have you been able to obtain a meeting with them?
I've spoken with one of the job site, a few text messages here and there, and did bring up the fact that he's behind schedule, what are you going to do to catch up? And the answer basically was, well, there's some
that response scares me even more, because now it's like, oh, well, there's be real fast, so let's just speed through it so we can be on schedule. So, you know, just responses like that are just...
Did you notice a week ago, from because I checked from Thursday to Monday, there was not a worker on the job?
Mike, I do not travel down that road.
I do. Okay, let me put it to you this way. Well, I do a lot since I live on it, and it was like that was amazing. Because my wife, we'd taken her to the doctor, and it's like, she said, where's everybody at?
But I do know that they haven't been there, because I am in contact with several of the residents there. So I am aware of that. But no, Sylvia actually asked me, you know, hey, come sit. I was like, I'm not going.
Yeah, we need to go sit in her front yard and use your water hose.
But yes, I mean, I am aware. And I mean, it has been, and other people will say the same thing, you know, like there hasn't been any work there. And
that's amazing.
But it's, I'm just very concerned. So that's why I've asked for this at least to be on every, this piece of it to at least be on every agenda, or at least one agenda a month, just so we can hear whether it, I mean, I personally would like to see, you know, somebody in authority be in front of us for that. However, I don't expect that same person to be there every meeting, but I do expect for our chief of police, our city manager, and our superintendent to be able to have the answers that they need to provide to council when they're being asked.
Can I just ask one question to pass forward? Who changed the rules? All I want to know. Who changed from one side to whatever?
I can actually answer that piece of it only because I did have a conversation with our city manager, and because that was after we received, well, the residents
and
received
the letter
that
from,
letter.
Yeah.
And the response to our city manager was that we misinterpreted what they said.
That is something I thought I read. I thought I read English pretty well.
So that is what the message was, is that we misinterpreted what was said, and we misinterpreted the project scope.
So we just missed a lot.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Moving forward, I'm going to ask them to go ahead and close the street, fully close it, and just allow access. As long as they are, they have their barricades up, they're just going to have to make sure that if somebody's getting out, they drive however far somebody's there, or if they have the backhoe, get over there, open it up, and allow them to come in and out. I've also explain to them that, of course, going the whole 48-hour notice, and with the driveways especially, knowing that, of course, we have some residents with, like, what she's having to get in and out and need to know when this is going to happen. So I've explained a lot of that to them as far as the driveways, because that's entry and exit for residents. I just want to make sure that it's easy on them. It is going to be an inconvenience when they do get to your driveway. What they're going to do, they're going to form it, hopefully pour it the same day, but a lot of times they'll
can
form
y'all,
it.
Can y'all hear him?
Inconvenience whenever the driveway gets, whenever they get to doing your driveway. They're going to dig it up, form it, maybe pour it that day, or maybe pour it the next day, depending on if they have concrete. Because they got to keep in mind, too, they order by the truck, so they got to do several driveways, and then they'll come back and pour them. After they pour them, you will have about 24 hours for it to cure the next day. Then they should come back, and if you move on, then you should have access. So moving forward, I've asked them to give a 48-hour notice to our residents. I try to stay on top of that as much as possible by putting that on Facebook and also on the website as well. And as soon as I get it, that's when I, you know, relay the information. That's usually the best place to look at it. If you go to the City of Kirby homepage, scroll down to the bottom, it's the public notices on there. There's just... Yes, ma'am. Because I know there's some residents that don't really utilize the internet.
So are they doing the driveway before or after the sidewalk? Because if again, they're skipping back and forth.
There's some areas on the sidewalks, on the wheelchair ramps on the edge of the corner, and some of the sidewalks there's a couple of discrepancies, I would say, with the plans that are in place. So before, they were asking me, can we do it this way, can we do it that way?
Oh, no, we're not going to do this again, are we?
I told them that we are going to have a meeting with
the engineer there, and on a lot of occasions I've said there will be no change orders.
You know what I'm hearing, you Gilbert? You're running this job. I mean, is everybody in this room agree that I think our man here is running this job? Is this the first time these people have done one of these things?
Gilbert, can I ask a question? On the sidewalks, because right now our mailboxes are...
In the yard.
The mailman complains. He has to get out now and walk to the mailbox. There's been a couple of days in the mail.
Absolutely.
But when they put the mailbox back, that sidewalk is going to be accessible now for people in wheelchairs or scooters.
The plans, every time when they make plans for the engineer, they're supposed to make them to address ADA issues. They have to be up to date with the American Disability Act. So,
yes, once
on that is there.
Yes. Are they going to
also then fix the yard that they totally tore up for everybody and they ripped out my 40-year-old bush?
They better.
See, that goes, and then that goes back to what Councilmember Grant was saying before, that they're supposed to put it back.
Exactly.
What it's usually what it's supposed to be when they do construction.
I know, dear.
Whenever they
you're right.
Anybody does. And that goes the same for me and my guys when we go there and prepare something. It's got to be the same or better than what
else.
Let me
tell you what, they came out and they cut into the water. They cut into
line.
They did not even tell her.
So
if they had
not
gone outside,
but you're going to get that. We're getting feedback. We're getting good feedback.
And I know it's not you.
And in you would go and say, hey,
because you're like, yeah, wearing on a short stretch, not the long stretch.
I don't know if they did that. Apparently they didn't. However, they did make repairs to it.
So
they were, the plan that has for
can
them.
We, so can we get. Is there a way that our residents that are there, can they email you, email Chief Boyce until our city manager gets back, as acting city manager, those questions, either that or come to Patty, so that those questions, like the questions that they have, come to somebody at City Hall, whether it be Patty or another email, so that those specific questions can be identified, because this can go on for all night, and I don't want to, you know.
Basically, if they email myself or the chief or Patty or anybody, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to get back to me. I have a folder on my Outlook email that specifically says Benjamin Warren Street Project. So any emails or any correspondence that I get for that are taken to that email. I also have a folder on my webpage. I'm accessible. Y'all can get a hold of me. I got a whole business card. You can get a hold of my email address.
You're at
so,
he's on the job site every day.
You guys can bring me, you know, you can talk to me about, you know, your concerns. Please keep in mind that sometimes it takes you a little while to get to them. We usually have quite a bit going on. However, yes, we are available. That's what we're here for. So,
so if we can go ahead and do that, maybe put something out just to let those residents know that they're affected, that if they have those specific questions, obviously we want them directed to the letter, to Furman or to Roy, that's on the letter. But if there isn't a response or something's not getting answered, if you could please just direct it to the email and allow Gilbert to get back with you guys to at least address those. And then as far as the traffic issue, that will still be monitored by our chief of police for that piece, and then they'll be able to have a meeting of the minds, if you will, as our attorney suggested, with those pieces so that there can be something intact where it's something that is beneficial and at least gets us somewhere.
You're doing a good job.
All right, so thank you, Gilbert.
Thank you.
All right, item 9A. Request by Mayor and Council members for items to be placed on future City Council agendas and announcements on the city events, community interests. Councilmember Apodaca.
I don't have anything, just
Happy 4th of July, everyone. I want to remind everybody about the fireworks in the park on 4th of July. Chief, I would like to commend you and your officers on curtailing the 18-wheelers going down Ackerman Road, doing a fabulous job. I also would like to put on the next agenda the issue with the Kirby Shopping Center. With an update on that, because from what I was hearing, they were given a 14-day notice. As of today, it's day 23. I'd like to know why that hasn't been addressed. Because from the way I see it, the church is locked out of their unit. They're still expected to pay rent, but the other tenants are still allowed to operate.
Yes, ma'am. And I could address that because it's not an agenda item. If we could put it on the next agenda.
Yes.
Let us get through the meetings. And I actually have answers to some of those questions. But,
okay. Okay, thank you, Chief. And I would also like to thank everybody for sticking with us. I know this has been a long meeting. And thank everybody for coming out. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, everybody, for showing up tonight. I hope we can solve y'all's problem real soon, because that's been a sore thumb in Kirby's side for a long time. I don't know if it needs to be put on the agenda, Patty, but come, what is it, middle of next month or so, we've got to find out who's going to go to the TML convention so that you can send in reservations. I don't know if that has to be on the agenda or not, but I think we need to bring it up and find out who can go.
We're going to Vegas, right?
Well, we're getting close. We're going to Fort Worth. You can go to the stockyards. That's all I got tonight.
Councilmember Grant.
First of all, you know, this Jerry has served more than I. I probably may be the second. Meetings like this, where you citizens come in and we sit down in a normal tone, in a normal manner, and we listen to each other. This is how we get people the help they need. This is how we solve the problems. This is how we find out what's really going on in our city. In the rumor mills, there's none, because everything is said right here. And I tell you what, these are so valuable. And I want to thank all of y'all that came out. Maybe we can't fix it immediately, but you can understand you're not going to be ignored. We are going to listen to you, and we're going to address your problems as best we can. So thank you all for coming out. Thank you all for participating, and happy 4th of July.
Thank you.
Councilmember Pierce?
Would like one item put back on the agenda, whenever it's convenient. The one lady brought up about the solar-powered stop signs. Seen those. They can attract attention to you during the daylight. So I would like something put on there where we can look at high areas, all four ways that we have, or even other areas that we're having a high, I can't say that, where there's been a request, and we're recognizing that there's people running those stop signs, so maybe put some type of stop sign as that in place there.
I've actually been in contact with a vendor for another project on the solar power. duties of the office.
Thank you. That's it. Everybody be safe. Thank you for coming out.
Well, everybody's pretty much said everything. Again, thank you all so very much for coming out. That's one thing that I've always encouraged is for residents to come out and speak. And it's difficult standing there talking. I've been there too. So I appreciate the fact that people take the time to come out and be a part of the governmental process. All of us are here for the same reason. We all want to make Kirby a great place to live. And we all know that there's issues that didn't happen overnight, so they can't be fixed overnight. So thank you for being part of the solution. Welcome to the Senior Center Board, Mr. Eklund. I know that the Senior Center is doing great things, so thank you all for the event on Saturday. We were able to spend some time there. Don is in the back there. I still want to continue bringing knowledge to our Kirby Little Library. So Donna, can you just raise your hand? So Donna actually had the initiative, because Kirby doesn't have a library, so Donna actually started an initiative where there's little libraries in Kirby that are accessible to everyone. The books, it's a book share. So it's take a book, take it, read it, what have you, and then go place it back. So currently there are two locations, just for everybody to know. There's one at the fire department, at the fire station in front of dispatch's window, entrance, and there's also one at our police department. So they're both active. Donna pays close attention to those boxes, and she makes sure that they're stocked. So if anybody has any used books, gently used books that they want to donate, you can donate them here. You can donate them at the fire station and at the police department. And there is also a Kirby Little Library group. It used to be on Facebook, but we have it is now on WeMe, which is another social media, but it doesn't have a lot of traffic like Facebook does. So it's a better place for you to communicate without all the traffic that Facebook has. So I encourage anybody to utilize those books, share the information, let everybody know that those boxes are available. There are plans as soon as funding is, for one, that the Senior Center has approved her to place one over there, so there will be one at the Senior Center. And so we're looking forward to that growth. There are some other works in that process. We have, they're not here, but beautification, I don't think there's anybody from beautification. They'll have another street cleanup at the 1st of July, that weekend of July, and then also the third Saturday of every month there is a Hugo Lentz Park cleanup. So please continue to watch, to look at social media and the city website too for those dates and times. And also, again, just want to reiterate fireworks in the park. And for city council, the city staff provided us with a budget calendar, so just please be mindful of those dates and make sure that you're available so it doesn't stop any of those processes. And lastly, I want to again echo how much I appreciate every one of our employees in the city. Our employees are here because they want to be here. They are not here because they have to be here. And every one of them come to work, put on their clothes, put on their uniform, and dress for taking care and serving the citizens. So it's easy to say, where is this person? Where is that person? What are they doing? I can guarantee you that if you need something and you pick up that phone, any one of the city employees will be here to serve our community. Chief, you're doing an outstanding job having to play dual roles, and so I appreciate everything that you're doing. Thank you to our police department, Chief William, to the fire department. Gilbert, thank you for going above and beyond, taking care of all of this, and I just want you guys to know how much we appreciate you, so thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.